Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for this chance to stop and to listen to your word and hear your desire for us this year as your people. Speak into our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, I don't know how you feel about this new year. This new year stretches before us. Here we are. It is January, and soon it's going to be February, and it's going to be March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, and it'll be Christmas again. Can you believe that? The whole year stretches before us, and I wonder how that makes you feel. Are you excited? Are you nervous? Are you anxious? How do you feel about the year before you? When I was a teacher in Cardiff many years ago in a place called Llanrumney, I used to start the academic year with a paper register. Yes, paper registers existed in those days. And you'd have all the kids' names down one side, and you'd have a little box next to their name, and you tick and cross your way through the year. And let me tell you, it was utterly overwhelming. When I got to teach in Islington, it was even worse, because the kids were a nightmare, and I thought, how on earth am I going to teach this class for a whole year? They're tricky. The parents are fighting in the playground. How will I do it? But the relief that came in July when the 6 weeks came, it was such a relief. I thought, hallelujah, another year done. Well, I wonder how you feel about this coming year. How do you feel about this year ahead of you? If you're a Christian, keeping going, following Christ, it is not easy to keep going as a Christian. And maybe tonight you're looking in on the faith, you haven't got a Christian faith, but you're thinking, I could never be a Christian, I could never keep it up. I just couldn't keep it up. Well, Jesus' disciples were wondering the same thing in our passage. Jesus has just told them back in chapter 13 that he's going. He said, I'm going to go to the cross where I will die for you, to the grave where I'll be buried, I will rise again and ascend to glory, and you will no longer have me physically with you. And they cannot imagine life without Jesus. They are pretty distressed and devastated. How on earth will they keep going? Maybe that's how we feel as we face this coming year. That's why our verse of the year that's behind me is such a great help. How will they keep going without Jesus there? How do we keep going as followers of Jesus this year? It is not easy in school or in work or in our families or in culture or society. It is not easier to be a follower of Christ. Well, this verse for the year is a great help to us. Great encouragement to God's people then and to us now. Here it is. Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I've got three P's for you tonight to keep you thinking and just remembering this verse for the year. Hope you got the card as you came, and if you didn't, grab it on the way out. The first P is this. Jesus gives us a picture of the Christian life. Now imagine you're there with your family at Christmas time, you're playing Pictionary. And on the card it says, Christian life. What do you draw? Would you draw this? A vine with branches. Well, that's how Jesus describes and pictures the Christian life for us. A vine growing out of the soil, watered, and branches coming out of it. It's a picture, isn't it, of utter dependence. See that? The only way for life and strength and fruit to come from the branch is because the vine is giving it life. It's a fabulous picture of the Christian life. Just as a branch is dependent on its life by being attached to the vine, so we are totally dependent on Jesus for spiritual life. Back in the Old Testament, God's people, the Jews, were described as the vine. A bit like back in Wales, we have the daffodil, in Scotland, the thistle, in England, the rose. Well, God's people had the vine, a symbol of the people of God. But actually, it's what God called them, his vine. The vine that he rescued from Egypt in slavery. Psalm 80 said that God's people were his vine, the vineyard of the Lord. And yet we get to Isaiah 5. And the Lord looks at his vine, his people. He looks for good fruit, and there is nothing there. No good grapes. All he found was bad stuff. Isaiah says he looked for justice, and he found bloodshed. For righteousness, but he heard cries of distress. They, as God's people, failed. They'd failed as his vine. They'd sinned. And yet Jesus turns up, chapter 15, verse 1. What does he say? I am the true vine. I am the one who's obeyed God perfectly. I've borne great fruit. I am the true vine. And the way to be part of God's people is by being attached to him. By faith. That's how you get connected to the Lord. It is through Jesus. That is the fantastic picture here tonight. Nothing you can do to make yourself acceptable to God, nothing to earn, no test to pass, just this picture of utter dependence on the vine, on Jesus. And that is a wonderfully refreshing picture of simplicity, isn't it? What is a Christian? A Christian is someone who is trusting in Jesus, the vine. Sinners who rebel, coming to the one who can give them forgiveness and life and connection with a true vine. When I lived in Potter's Bar, I was a vicar there. There was a double-decker bus used to go round, going into town, into London, and there was a church in Enfield advertising their church on the side of the bus. It was Jubilee Church, a great church that met in the cinema in Enfield. And their slogan was this, it's all about Jesus. That's what the Christian faith is about, Jesus. And that's what this vine and branch is about. It's about us being the branches connected to Jesus by faith. Faith in Christ, being in him, connected to him. And if you're not yet a Christian tonight, don't think to yourself, I just couldn't keep it up. It's not about what you do, friends. It's about who you're trusting in. Where's your hope? Are you trusting in the true vine? Trusting in Jesus and what he's done for you on the cross? It's not by birth into the right family or nation. It's not about a tick list of achievements. It's by trusting in the one who has done all things to save you at the cross and make you reconciled to God and make you his own, loved, precious, chosen by him. Faith in Christ, being in him, connected to him. I find it very moving. Here is Jesus in John 15, and he's on his way to face a horrendous death on the cross for us. In our place, to make the way for us to be his forever people. Amazing. Not about what we do. If you're a Christian tonight, it's just a branch in the vine. It's about what he has done to connect us and keep us. It's about trusting in him. What a great, simple picture to hold on to this year as a church family as we look ahead. Look at this verse, all our services and congregations today. It's so simple, it's so powerful. I am the vine, says Jesus. You, if you're a believer, are a branch. Well, what will the impact be of that? Well, Jesus says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. That's my second P, produce. The produce of the Christian life is fruitfulness. Here we go. I've got some lovely produce here. What do you think of these as a pair of earrings for my wife? Perfect. Beautiful, fruity earrings. Much fruit. Do you know fruit is mentioned 7 times in these first 8 verses? Don't miss it. The Christian life is all about producing fruit. And as we do bear fruit, have a look at verse 8. It says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If you're a Christian today, don't you want your life to result in praise and glory to God? And you will do that. By being in Christ, by being connected to the vine, his life comes into you and it changes you by his Spirit. And you will bear fruit. That is the promise of Jesus. Don't you want the life of Jesus to be visible in you? I do. The people I meet in my family, in my town, in my community. What is that fruit? Well, Jesus speaks a bit about the fruit in verse 12 of chapter 15. He speaks about love. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Jesus' love was gracious and merciful and so sacrificial. Paul picks up on it in Galatians 5. We'll look at that next week. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of being like Jesus is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Control. How is your self-control? Is it going well? I'll never forget over Christmas, I've got a great game face, but inside at times I was really grumpy. Really grumpy. Now I need a bit more of joy and peace and patience of Jesus in my heart. They are beautiful things. To be more like Christ, the fruit of God's Spirit being developed in us that makes us more like Jesus. That's got to be good. What is the point of our lives? Big question, a big existential question. What is the point of our life as Christians, as a church? Well, it's to bring much glory to God by becoming more like Jesus. Do you know, I meet some amazing people towards the end of their lives, and they've lost everything. And they say things like, how are you doing? How's your walk with the Lord? I sat into one lady in hospital the other day. She's got a stroke. She didn't think she'd ever come out of bed. She said, oh, the Lord is so wonderful. He's so good. It's powerful, isn't it? How can she say that? Because the fruit of Christ is in her. That peace and contentment and joy in great suffering. It's profound. It's amazing. It's so, so moving. Fruitful followers. That's the promise of Jesus if you follow Christ. As you're connected to him, the vine, his life flows into you so that you will bear fruit in the way you live, the way you speak, the way you plan, the way you give, your ambitions, your goals, your life. Fruitful followers. So true, isn't it? Often we celebrate as a culture competence, talent, beauty, giftedness, charisma. But Jesus values character. More like Jesus. Becoming more like him. Kind, loving, gentle, patient, joyful, persevering. Beautiful, beautiful things. What an uplifting vision for life this year. What an opportunity we have this year, friends. This call, as we remain in Jesus, the vine, connected by faith to him, to bear fruit, to be fruitful followers in our life, together as a church, in our homes, in our communities, in our workplaces. Fruitful on the front line, more like Jesus. The produce of the Christian life, you will bear much fruit. And thirdly and finally, the third P. The posture of the Christian life. By this I mean our manner, our attitude, our heart. The attitude we should have as Christians. Our world loves slogans like this. Be true to yourself. Believe in yourself. A few weeks ago, Jenny and I went to see the Whitney Houston film. And it was great because I was kind of reliving the 80s and just singing along. I Want to Dance with Somebody and all that. It was just great stuff. Really power ballads. Well, it blew my head off. But actually, I was just deeply moved and left the cinema very sad. Such a talent, such a beautiful lady. And just such a sad end to her life. Some of the big songs she sang. She sang, the greatest love of all is inside yourself. If that's true, friends, we're stuffed. We've had it. And after one of her sort of drug collapses, she made a comeback. And she's on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and she was singing about how she came back based on the strength inside. If I've got to trust in the strength inside, I've had it. I'm stuffed. I'm scuppered. Now, at the end of the film, there's all these reels of all her amazing accomplishments. She was the voice of a generation. She was an extraordinary talent. And yet, what a sad end. Young, she died of an overdose, drowning in her bath. You know, the greatest love of all is not inside yourself. Strength of life is not found in yourself. It comes from outside of us, from the God of heaven and earth who loves us. And as we've got to recognize that, the posture of the Christian life is this. It's about, I need you. It's not pride. It's not, I did it my way. It's that I need to have humility. I'm dependent on you, Lord. It's not believe in yourself. Be true to yourself. It's trust somebody else who is the perfect one, who can sort stuff out and get you to heaven and give you a new start and a new life in the vine. That's where our hope is found. Christ alone, cornerstone. That's what Jesus says to us. It's very humbling at the end of verse 5. Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's a great wake-up call, isn't it? You know, I think that I can do lots of stuff on my own, and I can. It's quite possible to do a job, run a family, drive a car, lead a church, run a home group, serve in kids' work, all in my own steam. And many people do. And yet, if we want lasting fruit, character change, spiritual work to happen, without Jesus, I can do nothing. No lasting deep fruit. Without His Spirit's work and life in and through us, no lasting fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus says. Now, I need to hear that, friends. Oh, we all need to hear that. As a church, outwardly, invisibly, we're pretty strong compared to many places. Amazing buildings, staff team, lots of congregations, lots of people, lots of young people and children. Loads going on. And yet without Jesus, without His life and His work and His Spirit pouring into this ministry here, we can do nothing. Without His life, we cannot be changed or bring change. When Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing, it's a wake-up call to me and to us as individual Christians, as a church, calling us to humility, dependence, trust. That's the posture of the Christian life. As a branch in the vine, I need the vine's life. Friends, I need Jesus' life, His Spirit, to be alive, to bear fruit for God's glory. As a Christian, a person united by faith to Jesus, like a branch in a vine, I need to keep reminding myself day by day to depend on Him. When I get up in the pulpit, I need to say, apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. When I get up in the morning to serve my family, I need to say, apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. When I build relationships in the community, I need to say, apart from Jesus, I can do nothing. But also wonderfully, in dependence on Him, I can say, in all things, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Friends, there are many times when I need both reminders. Without you, I can do nothing. When my knees are knocking, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. John 15, verse 5. I love this reality check for us as a church. Steve, All Saints, Crowborough, apart from me, you can do nothing. So my posture, Lord, I need you. I need you. Humility, dependent prayer. Daily feeding on Jesus through the Bible, mulling over on His words. One of the ways that I find really helpful is when I read my Bible in the morning, I have a post-it note and I write a verse on it and I stick it in my phone so that throughout the day I keep seeing that verse so I'm fed by Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I need His word in my heart constantly. I wonder how it's going for you as you start this new year. I love this call for a reality check for us all. Now, Bishop J.C. Ryle, the Bishop of Liverpool, who's been in glory many, many years, wrote this about that phrase, abide in me, remain in me. He said this, abide in me, cling to me, stick fast to me, live the life of close, intimate communion with me, get nearer and nearer to me, roll every burden onto me, cast your whole weight on me, never let your hold go on me for a moment. Lord, I need you. Help me to remain in you as you faithfully and fully hold on to me. It's a great call for us this year, isn't it? To invest in our relationship with Christ, to adopt a posture of humble need. It's a great goal for life. Now, this year we're going to do a series of talks in the morning services all about being fruitful followers. Next we can look at character. The week after we're going to look at holiness. In the evening series we're going to be doing a deep dive into John 15, looking at this whole section. And in our home groups, we're looking at the fruits of the Spirit. All different ways of coming at this. Even in kids' groups, we're doing this stuff. It's So as a church family, we can get this truth into our hearts and heads. Let me show you something. This is Mark Ashworth's kettle. He was in the minister's here. He couldn't take it to Canada. Different power supply. And actually, look at this kettle. Without this, imagine this is plugged into the power. Without this, this kettle can do nothing. But you fill it full of water, you pop it on, you plug it, you click it down, it sings. It makes tea. It makes coffee. It makes cup of soup. It makes instant noodles. At night time, it can make your hot water bottle hot. So you're toasty in bed. But without this, it can't do any of that. But with this, man, pot noodles. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Should we pray? Lord, we thank you so much for these words of Jesus and how living and real they are. Lord, we are inspired by them, we're comforted by them, we're challenged by them. As a church, as churches, we pray, and as congregations, help us to stick close to Jesus and to bear fruit and to humbly acknowledge without you, Lord, we can do nothing. Come by your Spirit in power and be at work in and through us this year, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.